chapter 7, verse 10, the Bible says, hallelujah here, and delivered him, God delivered Joseph, out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Father, bless your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints, we've been in the book of Acts, and we've been literally going over Stephen's defense. It just so happens that in Stephen's defense, before the Sanhedrin, he's going through the history of the Hebrews. And specifically, right now, in the text, he's talking about the patriarchs, the fathers of the Hebrew nation. We've gone through Abraham, amen. He's talked about Abraham to a great degree, and now he's on Joseph. So we're talking about Joseph. And if you remember, we just went through Joseph's story, how his brothers were moved with envy because of his coat of many colors, because he was more righteous than them, because Jacob, his father, had a particular love for him. We talked about how his brothers, amen, sold him into Egypt. They were so envious and hateful of their own brother that they threw him in a pit, amen, and the Ishmaelites passed by and they sold their own brother into slavery. But even though he was sold into slavery, God was still with him. We can go through tough times. We can go through hard times. But it doesn't mean that God has forsaken us. Amen. It's like the old footprints picture. Amen. When we go through our toughest times, it's not that, hallelujah, he's left us when we see the one footprint. It's that he's carrying us when we see the one footprint. Amen. God was with him. God was with him in Potiphar's house. And we saw, amen, that even though, hallelujah, he was in Potiphar's house, things did not get better. They got worse because he was blessed. He was prosperous. Amen. But he was also a fine Hebrew. Amen. Handsome. Amen. And Potiphar's wife made a pass at him. All right. He got out of the house, but he left his coat. She took his coat off of him. Amen. And when Potiphar came home, she presented the coat to her husband and said that Joseph tried to force himself upon her, assault her, rape her. But it was a lie. Amen. But even though it was a lie, Potiphar believed his wife and put Joseph in prison. But let me tell you something, hallelujah, if you're a man of God, if you're a woman of God, it don't matter where they put you. If God is with you, who can be against you? Amen. And Joseph begins to rise even in prison. He begins to prosper even in prison. Amen. The warden, the keeper of the prison, put everything under Joseph's hand. Amen. He come into jail. He begins to run the jail. Amen. He's just a blessed individual. Amen. The Bible tells us, hallelujah, in which we've been covering, hallelujah, in this first point, delivered him out, that while he was in jail, the butler and the baker of Pharaoh came in. Potiphar put the butler and the baker under Joseph himself to take care of them. And we studied last time that both of these individuals had trouble in dreams. And it just so happened that Joseph was a dreamer. He could interpret dreams. He can receive vision from the Lord. And we saw, amen, that your gift will make room for you if you let it. And God will put a particular situation in the earth that's tailor-made for you to deliver and help people out. Amen. He's preparing you for greater things. Amen. Hallelujah. And so Joseph interprets the dream of the butler and the baker. The butler is released. The baker is executed. But remember what Joseph told the butler before he left. He said, think upon me. Remember me. Because Pharaoh is going to let you out. But when you get out, think about your boy. And talk to Pharaoh to give your boy a pardon. But we ended off in chapter 40 with the Bible saying the butler forgot about Joseph. Huh? But aren't you glad this morning that when men forget you, God will never forget? Huh? God will never forget. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'll be with you even till the end of the age. Amen. Bible says, when mother and father forsake you, the Lord will lift you up. Man, I love that about our God. Come on, give him glory in this house. Amen. So let's continue talking about Joseph, and we'll look at Genesis 41. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Genesis 41. We'll cover around, you know, half the chapter, a little bit less than half the chapter. Amen. Give or take, just depending on time. Amen. But Genesis 41. And hallelujah. We want to look at starting at verse 1. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the Bible says in verse 1, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. Somebody say 2 full years. That Pharaoh dreamed the dream. A Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by a river. Yes, 2 years went by after Joseph told the butler to remember him. 2 full years. All right? This reminds us, amen, once again, that sometimes as believers, amen, when we ask the Lord for something, hallelujah, we got to wait on the Lord. All right? I can't reiterate that anymore. You got to learn how to wait on the Lord. The old folk used to say it like this. When you pray, amen, delayed does not mean denied. Anybody hear me up in here? Amen? It's kind of like your children. When your children ask you for something, you might not get it immediately. Amen? But you have it in your mind. And as soon as time presents itself, a proper occasion, you're going to do it for them, all right? And sometimes we can act like children with our God. Because we don't have the immediate gratification that our culture has programmed us to want, we want everything fast. We want our food fast. We want, amen, everything fast, all right? We got to learn how to wait. Somebody say, wait on the Lord. Yeah. And sometimes, amen, God will have you wait for 1 month after you're asking for something. Sometimes God will make you wait 2 months, all right? Sometimes God will even make you wait 6 months, all right? Or in this situation, Joseph waits 2 years. And the Bible says it wasn't 2 years like 1.75 or 1.8. No, the Bible says, John Mark, 2 full years. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? 2 full years. I know we don't like to hear it, huh? But you got to learn how to wait on the Lord. Whenever I look at my Bible, the people who receive the blessings from the Lord, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to put this in, the people who receive the best blessings from the Lord were people who waited on God, right? Moses waited for his calling. Moses waited 40 years, y'all. Abraham waited for his calling. Abraham waited decades, y'all. You understand what I'm saying? Before, when he got the promise, amen, that he would inherit a land and inherit a people, Abraham waited for Isaac, yo, decades. And not only Abraham, amen, and hallelujah, others in the Bible, if we think about David, he was anointed king when he was a youth. When he was around, amen, 16, 17 years old. He was anointed king and didn't get the kingdom until he was 30. All right? That's somewhere around 13 years. I got a question for you. Are you willing to wait for the Lord? Are you willing to wait? I know you don't want to hear that. All right? But sometimes you got to wait. Now, let me tell you something else about waiting. Amen. You need to know that God has an appointed time. He has an appointed time for you, all right? We live in a culture where we think it's our time all the time, but that's not the truth. Every person has a set time, all right? All right? Look at your neighbor, say, I'm waiting on my set time. Yeah. God has a set time for you, all right? In every day that passes, your set time becomes closer. Every day. Every day, every hour that passes, your set time for what you're praying for draws nearer. All right? Every second that you're here, even while you're here right now, you're getting closer to your blessing. Amen. And that's what the Bible says. Now is our salvation, hallelujah, nearer than when we first believed. And I got a word for you. Now your blessing is closer than when you first prayed. Anybody hear me up in here? Somebody say a set time. Listen to Habakkuk 2:3. All right, you've been praying for something. You've been asking God for something. It's been taking a little long, amen. I want to increase your faith this morning. Delayed does not mean denied. God is still on the move and he's still at work. You just got to wait a little longer. Just got to wait a little longer. Somebody say, let it cook, let it cook. Yeah. You don't want to pull it out the oven too early. All right? Habakkuk 2:3 tells us like this. For the vision is yet for what? An appointed time. Stop right there. Stop right there. That's the word of God. God says the vision that he gave you, the dream that he gave you, the hope that he gave you. You see, you think you invented that. You ain't invented that. God put the dream in you. Joseph, oh God. Joseph didn't create his own dream. God gave him the dream. And the dream, the vision that God gave is for an appointed time. It's for a set time. I'm telling you that God got a calendar in heaven, amen, and he got a date with your name on it, amen. Oh, God, I'm hoping somebody can see it. Think about what you want from God right now. Think about it. Think about it. And we all want something different. And don't you be judging what somebody else wants just because you got that already, amen. Because some people in here want a husband from the Lord. Some people want a wife from the Lord. Some people want a child from the Lord. Some people just want a home from the Lord, a car from the Lord. Some people just want something as small as a job from the Lord, a raise from the Lord, a promotion from the Lord. Some people want a healing from the Lord. Some people waiting for deliverance from the Lord. Anybody hear me up in here? The thing about it is that none of us have everything that we want. That's not the way Christianity works. All of us are waiting for something. All of us are waiting for something. All right? You got to be like Ronnie P used to sing. He used to walk around here singing all the time. I don't mind waiting. Anybody know that song? Can you sing that song with me? Can you sing it? On three. I don't mind waiting. Woo! Come on. I don't mind waiting. Brother Carl giving us the mixed version right now. On who? On the Lord. Come on, say it with me. I don't mind waiting. That's it. I don't mind waiting. Big brother, you want to take the solo on this one? I don't mind waiting. On who? On the Lord. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. God has an appointed time for the promise he has made with you. It will happen, saints. The verse says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end, it shall speak. Oh, yeah, the vision shall come to pass. Hallelujah. The Bible says, though it tarry, wait for it. And though it seems long, Habakkuk says, wait, for it will surely come. Amen. It will not tarry. It's not going to take long. It ain't going to be too much longer. And the thing about it is, when you get your blessing, amen, when you look back on how long you waited, amen, it wasn't that long at all, amen. When you look back, amen, while you're going through the valley, it seemed like the valley lasts forever. But when you look back after you got your blessing, you say, God, it wasn't that long after all. Amen. It's all about perspective, amen. So while you're here and you're waiting for something, ask God to change your perspective, amen, because you hadn't been waiting that long. You hadn't been on hold for that long, saints. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So that's what it's all about. Glory to God. In a second, you're going to get what you're asking for. Amen. And it's just going to seem like a day, hallelujah, when you get it. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Even your pastor, first lady, we're waiting on some things. And when I look at this scripture, God is telling me, amen, what he's told me will surely come to pass. You're waiting for some things. And guess what? If those things are what God told you, guess what? They will surely come to pass. Guess what? As a church, we waiting for some things. Anybody hear me up in here? And the Bible tells me, though it tarry, those things we waiting for as a ministry, they will surely come to pass. Now, I just want to stop right here for a second because we know that this is true. You learn how to deal with God through his past relationship with you. Has God ever not showed up and showed out, hallelujah, for something that you was waiting for? He either gonna give it to you or he gonna give you something better, amen? Remember when we was waiting to get 201? It surely came to pass. Remember when we was waiting to get this building? It surely came to pass. Remember we was waiting for the renovations, amen, when they was putting in the lights, amen, and the walls, and we was just walking around this building and praying, and what happened? It surely came to pass. Now remember how we waiting now on the school side and on the nursery, amen, and we got the walls up and it's almost done. Guess what? It will surely come to pass. Remember how we waiting to buy this next location on the other side, and guess what? It will surely come to pass. Remember how you was waiting, amen, on that child, and the child came. Guess what? It will surely come to pass. You can't mind waiting on the Lord. God is faithful, friends, and he abided faithful still. Come on, give God some glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God has good credit with me. Anybody hear me up in here? Good credit with me. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. It will surely come to pass. And the Hebrews are waiting for some things. And it will surely come to pass. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. And I found in my Christian experience, amen, hallelujah, when you wait on the Lord and God delivers, amen, he will deliver at the best possible time ever. Anybody hear me up in here? You see, the set time and the appointed time is not an arbitrary date that God chooses. The appointed time and the set time is a time that's best for you. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. You see, God don't want to deliver while you're not home. Anybody hear me up in here? He don't want to leave your package on your doorstep because it's too valuable. Amen. So what God is doing, he's scheduling the delivery of your blessing. Amen. When the best time is. Amen. And he's not going to be like them people that call you and tell you, I'm going to be there between 1 and 4. No, it's going to be a set time, an appointed time, a right time, a time, amen, that when you look back upon it, you're going to look back and say, it was the best time. It was the greatest time. Amen. A lot of time we want our blessing now, but now is not the right time. You want the blessing now, but you're not ready for the blessing. You want the blessing now, but your family not ready. You want the blessing now, but your church is not ready. You want the blessing now, but your people is not ready. You see, when God sets an appointed time and he delivers on that blessing, listen, everything gonna be ready in you, around you. Hallelujah. It's all gonna be ready. Hallelujah. It's all going to be ready. You will be ready. Your wife will be ready. Your children will be ready. Your husband is going to be ready. Your neighbor's going to be ready. Your church family, everything is going to be ready. The world will be ready for you when it's your appointed time. Oh God, I don't know how I can put this any plainer. You see, we're asking God to deliver something before his time. You see, the appointed time is the right time, is the best time. Listen to me now. When God brought Jesus into the world, Yeshua, the Bible say he didn't bring Jesus into the world at any time. Galatians 4:4 say when the fullness of time had come. You know, when something full, amen, hallelujah, it's a time in which everything culminates at that one spot, one location, that one moment in destiny, and everything lines up, all right? I think about a woman with child. Anybody hear me up in here? She don't deliver at any time, no, because you could deliver too early, and you can deliver too late. But she delivers at the fullness of time. It's when the baby's ready, and her body can't take no more. Anybody hear me up in here? Somebody say, I'm ready. All right? Everything got to line up. You see, you're trying to get God to give you your blessing, and the blessing not ready. The baby not ready. You're trying to get God to give you your blessing, but you not ready. Everything got to line up. Come on, give God some glory for his set time. Yeah. He calls it due season, in the fullness of time, a set time, an appointed time. Look at Genesis 41:1. Here we go. The Bible says, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. The Bible says that at the end of this 2-year period, that Pharaoh dreamed a dream. And it was God that caused Pharaoh to dream this dream. And God caused Pharaoh to dream this dream that he might have a need for Joseph. You see? The revelation is when it's your set time, you will not have to do anything out of the ordinary to put yourself up. When it's your set time, God will cause the need for you to show up. And they will call you. You won't have to call them. They will call you for your particular gift. How many people ever been in a situation where they called you and say, we need you? Anybody been in that situation before? Where they call you. Amen. That's the kind of thing that God will do when it's your set time. Your particular gifting is going to be essential, hallelujah, to where the program or the particular institution or organization is going. It reminds me of a man in the Bible by the name of Jephthah. And people that know that Bible know that Jephthah is in Judges chapter 11. And Jephthah, amen, was born in sin. He was shapen in iniquity. He was born, amen, out of a bad condition. Amen. His daddy had messed with somebody, amen, and had a child. Amen. And the daddy was a good enough daddy to say, I made my mistake, but I'm not going to deny my child. So he took Jephthah into his house. All right? But when he took Jephthah into his house, nobody liked Jephthah. The man's wife didn't like Jephthah. And the man's real biological kids didn't like Jephthah. They called Jephthah some bad words. Amen. And when Jephthah got older, they actually kicked him out of the house. And they said, you're not going to share in our father's inheritance because you are the son of a harlot. That's what they did to him. They kicked him out. But that's not the end of the story. You see, for a lot of you, you get dissuaded by how you start. But it's not how you start the race, it's how you finish it that count. Anybody hear me up in here? We all got a testimony. We all had some unforeseen situations that did not have control over happen in our lives. Amen? Amen? But it's not, hallelujah, glory to God, the situation that defines you. It's how you handle the situation that defines you. Amen? And Jephthah didn't let that get him down. He didn't let what his daddy did and what his mama did and what everybody else was saying about. He didn't let that get him down. The Bible says Jephthah became a mighty man of valor. Even in his exile state. Even though he was outcast and they didn't love him. Amen. He didn't worry about changing them. He worried about changing him. Amen. Anybody hear me up in here? Became a mighty man of valor. He knew the God who was the repairer of the breach. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? And when Jephthah depended and leaned upon God, he became a mighty leader in his exile state. And men began to follow him in his exile state. And the Bible tells us that Israel fell into trouble in Judges 11. And they couldn't find nobody to lead them. They needed a mighty man of God to lead them against their enemies. And the Bible says, amen, that not Jephthah's family, but the leaders of the whole nation came out to meet Jephthah. And they look upon Jephthah and they say, Jephthah, will you lead us? And Jephthah said, my, that's a funny thing now. That y'all going to kick me out of Israel because of my past and where I came from, but now y'all going to come and try to make me king, Jephthah said. He received the leadership, but he just had to tell them a piece of their mind. Pastor, where you going with this? When is your set time? When is your appointed time? Listen, God will make your enemies come to you. And say, we was wrong about you. We need you. That's what a set time is all about. Somebody say, God, show me my set time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you got to learn how to wait for it. You see, let's talk about Pharaoh's dream for a second. In verses 1 through 7, we're given the particular of the dream that Pharaoh had that he called Joseph to interpret. And I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to just summarize it for you. Pharaoh was standing on the side of a river in his dream. And he saw 7 heads of cattle come up out of the river. And the 7 heads of cattle he saw were healthy, well fed and plump. Right after the 7 well fed and nourished cattle, he saw 7 other coming out the river. But these 7 were malnourished, sickly, thin, almost as though it were emaciated, huh? And the cattle came, hallelujah, who were thin, and they walked up to the well-fed cattle, and the cattle who were malnourished actually in Pharaoh's dream ate the seven healthy, well-fed heads of cattle. And Pharaoh woke up. Whew, Pharaoh said, that's a strange dream. You know? And how many people ever had a bad dream at night? Amen? All right? And sometimes a dream will wake you up. Hallelujah. You got to watch those dreams because sometimes it's God talking to you. Other times you done ate too many Oreos. Amen. And you're suffering a little bit of indigestion. But when you learn how to discern the voice of God, you'll be able to learn which dream is from Him and which dream is not. Let me give you a quick nugget on that. Know your Bible. When you know your Bible will tell you how God speaks and how He operates. And you'll be able to tell what's of Him and what's not. Well, Pharaoh, amen, probably had a warm cup of milk and say, well, I'm just going to go back to bed. Amen. And sometimes you dream a dream that wake you up and you go back to bed thinking it's going to be all peaceful. But one of the worst things is when you go back to bed and the dream not over. Huh? Man, I used to have a reoccurring dream of King Kong chasing me. I think I watched too much of that Godzilla stuff when I was small. It ain't nothing like King Kong chasing you in a dream. You can't hide. No, I'm hiding on the call. King Kong picking up call, looking at me. Big old eye looking at me. All right, enough about my dream. Huh? That's why I don't like apes to this day. I'm just joking. But listen. So he goes. But I say, keep it real. He went back to bed, but the dream wasn't over. All right? In the second dream, he saw seven ears of corn. Good corn, healthy corn, well-favored. Amen. Right after that, seven thin, unhealthy ears of corn. Kind of like famine, heat and wind blasted. Amen. Scorched. Not anything that you would like to eat or cook. Those were the seven ears that came second. And just like in the first dream, the seven thin, unhealthy ears of corn devoured the seven nourished and good ears of corn. And Pharaoh woke up again. The dream wasn't over. Look at verse 8, and we'll kind of get to where we're going. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was what? It was troubled. And this got me for a second, all right? This got me for a second. Because Pharaoh is the king of Egypt. Huh? He's king of the greatest nation on the earth at the time. And he's troubled. Huh? He's probably one of the most prestigious and powerful men on the planet. Huh? He's probably one of the wealthiest, one of the richest. All right? He's probably one of the most well-respected. But still, this man is troubled. You see, what we need to know is that no matter how high we get in life, no matter how much we have, no matter how much power we have, no matter what kind of position we have and how people look up to us, there are some problems that only God can fix. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Some problems only God can fix. Tell your neighbor, take it to God. You'd be surprised how many rich people, well-to-do people, people, amen, that look like they have it all together, amen. They got it all together in most of the areas of their life, but they got something that's troubling them. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Pharaoh was troubled, all right? You'd be surprised, saints. You'd be surprised. Pastor, who are you talking about? Well, I think about Nebuchadnezzar, huh? Who had trouble in his mind. Now, he's the emperor of Babylon. He's the king of Babylon, but he was troubled in his mind and couldn't get it out, couldn't regain his mental health until God healed him. I think about Naaman, amen, the perfect Syrian general, amen. I have all kind of battle medals and accolades. Everything in his life is right in every other area, but in this one area of his physical health, that leprosy, huh? Got everything together, but still troubled. Huh? What is it? What is it in your life? What is it in your life? Is it the wayward kids? Everything else in every other department is good, but the kids. We were talking to one of the most hallelujah, one of the most brilliant lawyers and one of the most wealthy lawyers, amen. We were in Baton Rouge, a very rich guy, huh? And he pulled up in a Porsche at the meeting, amen. And we talking to him, me, Deli, amen. And we out there, hallelujah. I don't want to name too many names because I'm going to reveal his name, amen. But we out there and he pull up, all right? Looked like he got it all together. Got money, got boats, everything, all right? And he began to testify how one of his children got hooked on drugs. And all his money, all his prestige, all his political clout could not take his daughter off them opiates that she was on. You see, what I'm trying to tell you is that just like Pharaoh in this text, there's some things that you can't solve on your own. You can't solve on your own. You're going to have to take it to God. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right. I'm going to move on. But it's not just your children. It could be, amen, your marriage messed up. Take it to God. It could be legal problems. Take it to God. It could be like our president about to face impeachment. Your trouble. Take it to God. Amen. It could be a variety of different things. You got to learn how, even though you're big and powerful, you're rich and you got it all together, you got to learn how to take it to God. Amen. All right. All right. Now watch Pharaoh. Pharaoh's going to take it to a wrong place. All right. The Bible says in verse 8 that his spirit was troubled and he sent and called for who? All the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. See, one of the problems we have, amen, when we don't know just how strong God is and how available God is and how near God is, we want to take our troubles to men first. When you really get to know God, you learn that God tells us vain is the help of men. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of our God. The Bible said, listen, before you go searching and looking for everybody else, the Bible said you better look to the hills from whence your help cometh. My help cometh from the Lord. Fall on your knees first. Tell daddy what your problem is. And that's what Pharaoh should have done. But he called for all the magicians. And let me tell you, Christians are no better than anybody else in this matter. No. All right, we call him for everybody. We call him Dr. Phil. We call him Oprah. We calling this one, we calling that one, amen. And we going to the doctor right off the bat, amen. And I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. I'm not saying don't call on people that's professional. But all I am saying is to think so much of your God that you fall on your knees and you call on him first, amen. Come on, give God some glory, amen. And it could be that your God will give you a word, go to the doctor. Be that your God will give you a word. Go see, amen, go see somebody that you got a problem with. Go see somebody. But it could also be that your God from heaven who sit high and look low, say, my son, I got you. I'm going to do this one personally and give you the blessing that you. Woo! My God. He went to the magicians and all the wise men, all right? The Bible says that we got to learn because of Jesus. Amen. The Bible says Jesus, because of his death on Calvary, he's made a way out of no way. You see, the way with God was shut to us because of our sins and because of what we do and what we did. And so God couldn't hear us. Our sins had separated us between us and our God. But Jesus on the cross, Yeshua, built a bridge. If you could imagine, amen, we on one cliff and God is on another. And we need him, but we can't get to him. Our sin separated us. He's holy, we're sinful. That's like oil and water. Anybody hear me up in here? But Jesus took the cross, amen, and he built a bridge over the chasm. And now through Christ, we can just walk through, walk across to our God and say, Abba, Daddy, I need you, amen. And that's what Jesus means when he says, if you ask anything, in my name. You can't come in your name. Can't come in your name. You got to take the bridge. You can't come in your name. You can't come in my name. You can't come in any other name. You got to come in his name, at the name of Jesus. Yeshua, you got to come in that name. That's the bridge. That's the way. That's the only mediator between man and God. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. We want to trust in every man but the God man. All right? The Bible says, because of Jesus, we can now boldly come before the throne of grace, that we might receive help in our time of need. All right? Well, the Bible says, after the dream, after Pharaoh was troubled, and after he went, amen, and began to look for help in all the wrong places, the Bible tells us, amen, that no one could interpret the dream for Pharaoh. He sent and called for the magicians, all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told him his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto him, unto Pharaoh. That's when the chief butler woke up, y'all. Remember the chief butler? All right. Look with me at verse 9. At verse 9. Y'all still up out there? All right. We bringing it home. The Bible says, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. All right. He realized that he made a mistake. He had forgotten about Joseph. In verse 10, Pharaoh was wroth. He reminds Pharaoh what happened. Pharaoh, you was mad at me, wroth with his servant. And you put me in war. You put me in jail. Huh? In the captain of the guard's house, but me and the chief, both me and the chief baker. Verse 11. And we dreamed a dream one night while we was locked up in prison where Joseph was, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. In verse 12, and there was with us a young man. Somebody say a young man.
Young man.
You see, Joseph was about 30 at the time. Right? You're living in a culture, amen, when you get out your 20s, they begin to treat you like life is over. We live in a youth idolizing culture. What you need to understand that in biblical days, in Hebrew days, the gray head, the hoary head, the Bible says, was a crown of glory. As you got older, amen. As you got wiser, amen. That was the people that was looked up to. That was the elders of the land, amen. We looking at hallelujah, people that's youthful and young as leaders in America right now. They the ones that's on TV. They the ones with the modeling contracts. Amen. The problem is, amen, that, hallelujah, their bodies might be right, but they ain't got nothing upstairs. Anybody hear me up in here? And so children are leading a nation. And you got to understand that's part of the judgment of God. As we Hebrews get back to our Bible and get back to an understanding, amen, stop following them children you're watching on the music videos. Stop following them children that you're watching in the sports. Yeah, you can watch them play the sport, but don't let them be your mentor. Don't let them be your Jesus. Don't let them be your idol. I don't have an American idol. Anybody hear me? I got a Savior, and his name is Jesus. All right? All right? All right? A young man. Now, the Bible called Joseph a young man because back in the Bible days, 30 was young. You 30 now, they're calling you old. You know what I'm saying? You old now. No. But let me tell you something about 30. 30 is where God usually calls somebody. At that age, 30. Listen to me, be nice. At that age, 30. You see, 30 is where your strength and your wisdom intersect. For our Hebrew kids, hallelujah, that X and Y axis intersect. Karen, you know what I'm talking about. You see, because in life, our strength is up when we're young, but our wisdom is low. Can't do too much. Can't make no money. Can't lead too many things. We got some that got it, all right? But most, strength, youth, no comprende, all right? But as you get older, strength decreases, but wisdom increases. Are y'all with me so far? All right, I'm about to encourage some of y'all, because you think you're 30, you think life over, baby. Let me tell you something. You in the sweet spot. You in the sweet spot. You in the sweet spot. Now, Brian, you smiling real big right now. It's a place where strength and wisdom intersect. If it was a graph, amen, it would look like, Miss Karen, help me. Yeah, it would look like that. You know what I'm saying? But it's, you hear me, Brother Tony? Well, you get the wisdom, but you still got your ay, ay, ay. You know what I'm saying? Now, some of us that's over 30, wisdom kind of go up. Strength continues to go down. But don't mess with me now. Don't mess with me. Right? Well, Pastor, why 30 is so sweet? Listen. Jesus started his ministry at 30. You think that God would just pick that age for nothing? No. It was a wisdom strength intercept. You see? David entered the kingdom of Israel at 30. All right? Now, if you're older than 30, I got a word for you. There's still miracles after 40 now. Come on now. There's still miracles after 40. All right? Just because I can't run don't mean I can't run no business. You understand what I'm saying? And I got a spin move that's bad. Listen to me now. Somebody say a young man. Yeah. So as you get older, don't lose hope. Don't lose heart. Once you get in this Hollywood model of living, all right, that's not what it's about, man. Beauty is fleeting. It's fading. But woman of God, you could build such a beautiful character on the inside that when men get in your presence, the way you carry yourself, make them go head over heels for you. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! So when, hallelujah, I forgot where we were. A young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. I love that, a Hebrew, huh? And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. Verse 13. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. He said, man, when we told this young Hebrew our dream, it happened just as he interpreted. Exactly 3 days, I was restored, and the baker was executed. Now we get into some good stuff. 41:14, look at it. When Pharaoh heard this, the Bible says, then Pharaoh sent and called who? And called Joseph. I love this. He called Joseph, y'all. Hallelujah. Remember now, God's timing is best. Getting back to the set time, the appointed time. Because remember, if Joseph would have got out before this moment, it would have been good, but not the best. Because Joseph told him, he said, it was 2 years ago, TP. Joseph said, he told the butler, as soon as you got, remember me. Go talk to Pharaoh. Listen, if that would have happened, Joseph would have got out, went home, still fought with his jealous brothers. You understand what I'm saying? But because of the 2 year wait, he just didn't go home. Pharaoh called him. He was able to see the face of the king. He was able to talk to the king, interpret the dream of the king, get a promotion from the king, raised up to be blessed and be a blessing by the king. And it all happened because he didn't mind waiting. Now let me give you another revelation about waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. It's been my experience that the longer you wait, the bigger the blessing is. I got to repeat that again. With God, the longer you wait, the bigger the blessing is. Anybody hear me up in here? You got to feel me now. You see, because you're waiting on some things. And it's taking some time. Amen. But it's kind of like a snowball effect. God's blessings are cumulative when we add the time element to it. When a snowball is coming down a mountain, the longer it goes down, the bigger it gets. You got to begin to see your blessing like that. Every day you waiting, it's getting bigger. It's getting bigger. It's getting bigger. It's getting bigger. It's more finances. It's a better job. It's a better husband. It's better children. Hey, I'm telling you here. Those 2 years made all the difference between Joseph just going home or being raised to vice president. I'm trying to tell you something here. Wait on the Lord. Every day you wait, you need to celebrate. You need to dance. Oh, Lord, that's how good he's going to be. Oh, Lord, that's how great it's going to be. For the women who waited in the Bible for children, whether you're thinking about Mary, or you're thinking about, amen, Samuel's mama, amen, hallelujah, help me out, Samuel's mama. Huh? Laquita? What's her name? Hannah! Or are you talking about Hannah, amen? Remember how long Hannah waited and cried and wept bitterly before the Lord? Huh? But every woman that waited in the Bible for a child did not have any kind of child, no. They had great men and women of renown. I'm talking about they had people like Jesus, like John the Baptist, like Samuel the prophet. I'm talking about they had Samsons. Amen. The longer you wait for your blessing, the bigger the blessing is going to be. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. And here we are complaining. Why he trying to make our blessing all that? He trying to make our blessing all that. Oh, God, hurry up. Wait, you don't want me to hurry up. If you knew what I was adding to this and putting on this and how I was fixing this, you wouldn't want me to hurry up. It's like a good cook. Don't rush me. Don't rush me. I'm marinating. Don't rush me. Don't rush me because when it tastes, you touch your taste buds. Amen. You're going to say, ooh, ça c'est bon, s'il vous plaît. Don't rush me. Don't rush me. Don't rush me. I'm cooking in the kitchen. I'm cooking in the kitchen. Get out of my kitchen. Get out of my kitchen. I'm cooking in the kitchen. I'm cooking in the kitchen. Yes, Lord. Somebody hear me up in this place. God telling you, get out of his kitchen. Come on, look at your neighbor. Tell him, get out of God's kitchen. Let him, look at your other neighbor. Say, let him cook. Yeah, he's cooking up a blessing. He's cooking up a big blessing for you. A big blessing for you. You got to learn how to just understand the ways of God. The longer you wait, the bigger the blessing is going to be. Woo! Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph. All right. Now when Pharaoh, amen, sent and called for Joseph, amen, this was an unorthodox way for God to get Joseph into the kingdom, y'all. You see, God wanted Joseph to be second in command. That was always the vision. From the very beginning, Joseph saw his brothers bowing down to him and saw even his daddy. And in the vision, if you know your Bible, the point that God, the place where God wanted Joseph from the very beginning was second in command in Egypt. All right? What we need to understand is that God has unorthodox ways of getting people where he wants them. All right? You got your way that you sit down and you think how you going to get to where you want to be. And you're thinking of the ordinary ways. And I could just see Joseph, well, I'm going to be high up. I don't know how it's going to happen. Maybe that I'm going to give some oration in front of a nation and everybody's going to come and make me king. And we're going to conquer with weaponry and with wisdom. And I'm going to be ruler, amen. And it's all going to be splendid and pomp and splendor and everything is going to go great. Right? Some people say, somebody say that's our plan. That's right. But how many people know God has his own plan? He has his own plan. And there's more than one way to the top of the mountain. Right? I was talking to a minister the other day, and the minister told me this. You got to watch out for God's back doors. Back doors. Right? You're thinking you're going to get to where you want to be through the front door. When God will very well bring you up through the back door. All right? You understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is watch out for the back doors. You think that Joseph would have ever thought him going into slavery, going into prison, would bring him exactly where he needed to be? I feel like the Hebrews need to hear something right now. I feel like the Hebrews need to hear something right now. I know we disobeyed God. I know we was under Deuteronomy 28, but we went into slavery. Hey, God, we've been put in the prison, amen. But what you need to know is that God has a back door, and just being in that back door will wind up putting us in the exact place where God needs us to be. I'm sorry. I know this ain't a conference. God, come on, somebody. Let's I digress. Listen. Watch out for the back doors in your life. Just because it don't happen how you planned it
don't mean, hey, God, that God is done with you yet. Amen. I'm talking to somebody here. You don't put your 10-year goal down, your 20-year goal down. It never happened how you planned it. Huh? But the Bible says many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's the will of the Lord, amen, that's going to be done. Don't give up on God, because he won't give up on you. He is able. Anybody hear me up in here? I'm going to tell your neighbor, watch out for the back door. Yeah. He'll bring you on that job and you'll get promoted through the back door. Hey, God, you have them children through the back door. And you'll get married through the back door. Anybody hear me up in here? It's just going to happen. It ain't going to happen how you intended. Through the back door. All right. And the Bible says, amen, after Pharaoh called him in verse 14, they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. Somebody say hastily. Oh, that's such a good word, brother. Hastily? Oh, baby, listen to me now. Any of y'all with child, you could name your children hastily. Come here, hastily. Why you name them hastily? Because that's how my God moves, hastily. They brought him hastily out of the dungeon. Let me give you a definition of hastily. It means with excessive speed, with urgency. It means to move you hurriedly. It means to move someone briskly in a fast or extreme quick manner. Another word for hastily that I like is the word suddenly. Hey! My God! Somebody say suddenly. That's how God moves. That's how God moves. The Bible says they brought Joseph to Pharaoh out of that prison, and they brought him suddenly out of the dungeon. That's how it's done. You see, 1 second Joseph was in prison, preparing for the work of the next day. And Joseph is such an administrator, he organizing the whole week. You hear me, Tree? He up in there saying, well, next week we're going to get the prisoners to crochet. And the week after that, we're going to get them to cook some things. And we're going to do this, hallelujah, to these prisoners. He got his whole month planned, his whole year planned, because he think that he's going to be in the same place, in the same position, and doing the same thing. Oh, God, I'm trying to preach. The type of God that we serve a suddenly type of God. Here you are, here, one moment, and God show up and show out. And he put you where you want to be there the very next. I'm telling you, Joseph was planning. He was planning. Oh, yes, all the prisoners are going to paint this section of the cafeteria. And hastily they come in, they call him, and they brought him unto Pharaoh. You see, suddenly God moves. Listen to me, saints. This has often been the time how God has moved in my life. And I know some of your testimonies, and it's how he moves in your life as well. There's going to be some situations, amen, you'll see yourself one moment here, in a move of God, the next moment you're there. One moment you're sick, and God moves, and the next moment you're healed. Anybody ever experienced that before? Come on, shout if I hit you up in here. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He's a suddenly type of God. One moment you're single, with no prospects. I'm marrying a man of God April 28th like that. He had came to me after prayer. He said, look, you're going to have to pray for me. I need some companionship. Next moment I talked to him, he said, Pastor, put the date on the schedule because it's going down. One moment you're single, and then suddenly you're married. One moment you're barren. No kids. Doctors can't help. Don't look like nothing working on the inside. And then suddenly, hey, God. Bible says he put the solitary in house. You see? One moment you're broke. Ooh. in debt, in poverty, losing the house and losing the car, and the next moment you're blessed beyond compare. God, show up and show out. It only takes God one moment to change your situation. Just one moment, just one moment. Listen to me. We serve a God who exists out of time. Time is a creation of His. So God is not subject to time. Time is subject to Him. That's why in the Bible He can slow down time and stop time. That's why when His people pray, sun stand still, moon be still. Hallelujah. God can do that. He's the God of time. He created it in Genesis, you see. And so that's why the Bible says, since He dwells in eternity, one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Because God can fast forward it or rewind it. He can do whatever He wants to. He like a mixer on a soundboard. He like a computer engineer on his screens. That's how God is glorious in His operations. So when we think of moments, we think a moment is a fraction of a second. We think a moment is a twinkle of an eye. But a moment to God could be how long God wanted to be. And that's why He could change your situation. I don't think you got me. I don't think you got me. I don't think you got me. I don't think you got me up in here. I don't think you got me. Because if you had me, you would know. One moment, whatever you're going through, one moment. That's why the people who knew the power of God in the New Testament, they would say, only say the word. Only speak the word. All you need is one word from God. Be healed. Be blessed. Receive promotion. All you need. That's what that means, suddenly. Suddenly. It means that God, hallelujah, in one moment changes everything. You broke one moment. You blessed the next. You're carless one moment. Picture you're rolling the next. You're homeless one moment, you're 3-bedroom, 2-bed. The next, you're jobless one moment. You got the sweetest supervisory managerial position. The next, you're wifeless one moment, husbandless one moment. And then God moves. Huh? Listen to me, man. God is a suddenly type of God. I'm telling you, man, and it blesses us to know that. There's so many ways that God can change your situation. And what we need to start doing is we need to resist the temptation of trying to figure out God. That's how we get in trouble. We try to figure out God, or we try to help God. Stop trying to help God. You're only going to get in God's way. Just sit back and wait for your moment. Come on, tell your neighbor, wait for your moment. Wait for your moment. Now tell your other neighbor, I'm waiting for my moment. Yeah. You got to. And then God hit me. You see, because when God moved for you suddenly, when He moves suddenly like that, now watch me now, Shirley. You've been praying for that for 5 years. Been praying for that for 10 years, Brent. And God moved suddenly. Come on, deacons, y'all hear what I'm saying? We got some things we've been praying for a long time. And then it show up. And it don't show up over a 5-year period yet. It's like you go to bed, amen, and your stocks are worth 10 cents. And you wake up and it's worth 16,000. And you're like, what in the world just happened? And a lot of the times, Parker, the Bible tells us that when God moves suddenly in that fashion, that we won't even think is real. We're going to say, wait, Mel. They must be tricking us. In fact, we'll get to a place where it's so quick and it's so much of a blessing that we will think that we are dreaming. Come on, look at your neighbor. Tell him, pinch me. I'm dreaming. I must be dreaming, brother-in-law. Let me show you. When God moved on Peter's life, when Peter was locked up, we got a lot of family locked up. Peter was locked up. In Acts 12:9, Acts 12:9, amen. Look. When the Lord bust Peter out of jail, it was so miraculous. It was one moment. Peter was in there about to be executed. It was just one moment, just one moment. Just it changed overnight. It was one moment. And the angel came to get Peter out. And the Bible says in 12:9 of NLT, so Peter left the cell following the angel. But all the time he thought it was a vision. I must be dreaming. He didn't realize it was actually happening. Let me tell you something. In 2018, if you can receive this, if you got enough faith to receive this, if you got enough trust in God to receive this, in 2018, you're going to wake up one day to where you find yourself at, where you find yourself living, what you find yourself having, and you're going to say, it's got to be, oh God, you're going to say, it's got to be a dream. Oh yeah. I'm telling you, you're going to say, pinch me, I'm dreaming. Pinch me, I'm dreaming. That's the suddenly type of God we serve, y'all. Dreams are going to be coming true. Listen, as a nation, the Hebrews in times past, amen, when God would work a work for us as a nation, when we had forsaken him in times past and we were in bad situations, amen, before, amen. And the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. That's the promise, y'all. And whenever we turn back to our God, amen, and we humble ourselves and we turn from our evil ways, God hears us, comes down to deliver us. And the way God delivers us, he delivers us suddenly. He moves hastily. You could be in one bad situation as a nation in one time, amen, and the next moment you look up, God done move, and it's a whole different situation going on. And I found a scripture in Psalm 126, verse 1, and I loved it. The Bible says, hallelujah, a song of degrees. And what that means is, there's a song of degrees, amen? And what that means is, there's a song of degrees. And what that means, all right, no, I'm just joking, but listen. I was just trying to get to where I needed to be. But a song of degrees means that, hallelujah, I'm not staying where I was, but I'm moving up a degree, and I'm moving up another degree, and I'm moving up in another degree. It's a song of perpetual ascension and promotion. It's a song of degrees. Now listen to me good. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. You got to understand, when he moves suddenly, that's how it's going to happen for us as a nation, Curtis. The NIV says it like this: when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? When he restored, you know the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous, huh? So when he restores, hey, God, man, Tony, you think they listening to me? When he restores, amen. Oh, God, you ever saw something that's been restored? You take it in its messed up state and you bring it back to the condition that it was designed to be. Can it listen now? We in a messed up state as a people. But we got a restorer, big brother. He's going to take our interior and fix it up. He's going to patch up, amen, all of our seats that's tore up, amen. He's going to fix our electrical systems, amen. Anybody hear me up in here? He's going to come out and take our paint job and scrub it on down and sand it on down. Get us back to the very basics, amen. And then he's going to put that candy on us. It ain't going to be just no any paint. I'm talking about that candy green or that candy red. You can tell I'm hood, amen. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? All right? Like my wife wore a shirt the other day. She said, classy but hood. Amen. I'm hood. I still like a candy paint job. Yeah. God's gonna put that candy on you. Gonna put that candy on you. Oh, John know what I'm talking about. John like that candy too. John, ow! Listen to me. He's gonna restore the wealth of Zion, the fortunes of Zion. Hallelujah. Yes. And he does it suddenly. And when he restore and when he do it, you're gonna think that you're dreaming. Amen. How's it gonna happen, saints? Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Oh God. Here we go. Verse 14. And this is the last verse we're gonna cover in this Genesis book. Hallelujah. And the Bible says here, it says, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily, suddenly out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. You see, that word raiment means clothing, right? You can't come from the dungeon and just stand in front of Pharaoh. You can't come from the bottom and just stand in front of the king like that. You got to get cleaned up. They had to change his raiment. They had to shave him. They had to make Joseph presentable for the king. When I saw this, I heard the gospel. And I heard a perfect place from the Lord to stop the message. This right here, what you see, is a picture of salvation. What you need to know, hallelujah, is that at the end of your days, you can't just run up to the king any kind of way. No. You can't come to the king dirty. You can't leave the dungeon of this sinful, wicked planet and stand in front of your king without having changed your clothes and shave something, cut some things off for you. Oh, I'm getting some revelation here. Or some people getting some revelation here. John, you're hearing me here. You know where I'm going with this. Listen, before you face the king, there's some things you're going to have to do. That's where Jesus comes in. If Joseph couldn't go before an earthly king any kind of way, who are you to stand before the universal celestial king of the Most High? Huh? You can't stand before him any kind of way. It's the king of creation. He's holy. He's holy, holy, holy. When Isaiah tried to come before him any kind of way, Isaiah saw his glory and say, I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. He said, woe is me. I'm dying because I'm sinful in the presence of holiness. That's like germs, hallelujah, being dropped in a bottle of Clorox. You can't take the presence. You see? But that's where Jesus come in. You see, Yahshua, Jesus, opens up a fountain whereby we can be made clean. Yahshua, Jesus, creates a garment whereby we could change. Yahshua, Jesus, creates as though an environment where we can shave some things off of us that don't need to be on us when we meet the King. How does Yahshua Jesus do it? How did he do it? Well, he died on the cross for all your sins. The propitiation, the satisfaction for your sins. He's the atoning sacrifice, meaning this, that your sins required blood to pay for it. And Jesus gave that blood. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins, not of some, of the world. He died on the cross, and he not only died and stayed in the grave, but he rose from the grave on the third day. And when he rose, he gave us a promise, Miss Denise, that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They just got to call upon him, believing in faith that he is who he says he is, and that he did what he said he did. That was die on the cross and rise up from the grave. We come to our Savior admitting that we are sinners. Lord, I'm not perfect. We come to our Savior believing that he died on the cross, rose from the grave, and is coming back. We believe. We come to our Savior and we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeshua is Lord. We admit, believe, and confess. When that happens, God will save you suddenly. That's how he rolled. You walk in church one moment, you're unsaved. Suddenly something happened in church, and you leave out saved and on fire for Jesus. That's how he saves us suddenly. That's how he saved me. I met him, and my mind was on one thing, and the next moment, my mind was on something completely different. Happens in one moment. Listen, in one moment, there's somebody in here, one moment, who will never be the same again. They've understood the information. They believe the information. And even in their heart right now, they're understanding that they have some sins that they need to deal with. And just like I said of Pharaoh, amen, there's some things you can't fix yourself. Some things man cannot help you with. You got to go to God with your sins. He's the only one who's the sin sponge. Anybody hear me up in here? God will save you. He will take your sins and put them on the cross. That's what we call in seminary justification. It's when you're guilty, amen, but he take your sins off, you put it on the cross, and treat you like you're not guilty. That's justification, all right? Then he's going to give you a new outfit. He's going to take your sins off of you, the old rag sinful life that you had. Then Jesus is going to take his righteousness off of him and robe you in his righteousness. Fix you up. All right. Hallelujah. That's what we call imputation. He take your sins, justification, give you his righteousness, imputation. All right. All right. What happens after that, Pastor? Well, he gives you a new heart. That's what we call regeneration. Oh, we working. We working. Y'all still all right? All right. Yeah, because your old heart wanted to do bad things. But when you get saved, amen, you look around and you say, I was blind, but now I see, amen. And the old things I used to do, I don't want to do no more. What I used to say, I don't want to say no more. It's not that somebody forcing me to live right now. I want to live right. I got a new heart and a new start. Hey! Hey! Justification, imputation, regeneration. What's next, Pastor? Huh? Sanctification. See, because after he changed your heart, you saved. You already saved. All right? He accepts you just as you are. But he's not going to leave you as you were. So God will get to work on you. Like the master carpenter he is. He's going to fix the way you talk and fix the way you walk and fix how you act and take that jealousy out your heart. Take that envy out your heart. Take that pride out your heart. Take all the things that's not, don't, hallelujah, that don't help you but hurt you, begin to mold you and shape you. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what that's called? That's sanctification. All right? Yeah, justification, imputation, regeneration, sanctification. And guess what? Sanctification won't stop until you meet him. And something that we call glorification. Come on, give God some glory. Are you with me so far? All right, yeah, because he's going to work on you till you meet him. Nobody on this planet going to be perfect until we put on perfection when we meet him in the sky. Are you with me so far? When we get saved, he justifies us. Puts his clothing, his raiment of righteousness upon us so we can stand before the king. That's imputation, justification, imputation. Gives us a new heart, amen, that's regeneration. Puts us on the will to work on us to make us better people, that's sanctification. And he does that until he splits the eastern sky and takes us unto himself, gives us a whole new body, and that's glorification. That whole process right there that I just explained to you is something, amen, that we call salvation. And I offer it to you this morning. I offer it to you this morning. That's salvation. That's the deeper element of it. And you ain't got to know all the nations. You ain't got to know all that. You ain't got to know all that. All you got to know is that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus paid it all. That's all you got to know for this morning's message. All right? But Pastor, what if I don't accept him? I'm glad you asked. Jesus talks about the people who come before the king without the proper garments. And in the book of Matthew, amen, hallelujah, he talks about it. Matthew 22 and verse 11. Jesus says, "And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in here not having the proper garment?" In this particular parable, a wedding garment. "And the man was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." This morning I issue out the clarion call for God's elect, God's people. You see, many call, everybody going to be called, but it's only the chosen that's going to answer the call. Ushers, come on, ushers, open the gates for a second. Nobody move yet, but just open the gates, ushers. I'm here to figure out if you're chosen or not. That's what I'm here. You see, if you're chosen, you're going to understand the things I just went over and how bad you need Jesus to forgive you of your wrong. If you're chosen, you're going to understand that you can't go before him, rush in before him with all your sins on. You're going to understand that. The Bible says, "My sheep, they hear my voice." Can you hear his voice pleading for your soul this morning? The king is calling for you, but he wants you to have the right garment on before you meet him. I'm calling for the chosen this morning. If you are here, amen, and you are chosen, you understand what I'm saying? And you know that you need a Savior. All those that understand the gospel that I just went over, understand the need of needing a Savior. All those, whether you've done it or not, all the chosen, stand up. If you don't understand, then you're still sitting. I'm calling for the chosen this morning. Those who are not perfect but realize that they need a Savior. That's who I'm calling for. Chosen people of God, if you're physically able, take your time with me this morning and come to the altar as a sign that you believe in Yahshua Jesus or you have believed. Come, chosen people of God. I'm calling for the chosen. If you're not saved and you don't want to be saved, then stay in your seats. This is a reverse altar call. I'm calling for the chosen. I'm calling for those who want God, who either want to be saved or was saved at some point. I'm calling for the chosen. I'm calling for the chosen. I'm calling for the chosen. We're going to pray. And for some, it's going to be, amen, us repeating our faith. But for some at this altar, it's going to be the first time that they pray
an annunciator of faith, a saving faith in Yahshua. Y'all ready? Say, God Most High.
God Most High.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For loving me.
For choosing me.
I admit
I've sinned against you.
And I'm sorry.
But I believe
that you're not finished with me.
Just yet.
Lord, save me.
And cleanse me.
Wrap your arms around me.
And give me a change of clothing.
Take my sins
and wrap me
with your righteousness.
I believe
in Yahshua Jesus.
I believe he died on the cross.
I believe he was buried in the grave.
And I believe he rose
from the dead.
Lord,
save me,
a sinner,
and use me
for your glory.
Fill me up
with your spirit.
Give me a new heart
and a new start.
Bless me,
Lord,
with sanctification.
Work on me.
Make me a better person.
And Lord,
use me.
Help me
to live for you.
When I get weak.
In Jesus' name.
Amen,
amen, amen.
Come on, give God some glory.
That's what we believe.
That's what we believe.
That's what we believe.
All right.
All right, now.
I done called y'all up. I don't know how I'm going to get out of
here. I think I'm going to go that way, all right?
Listen, let me pray a blessing on you and we're going to get out of here.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to go straight this way.
That Johnson Street looked too busy.
May the Lord bless you.
May he keep you.
May he cause his face to shine upon you.
May the Lord be gracious to you.
May he lift up his countenance upon you
and bless you
with shalom peace.
And I pray
that the wait be worth it.
Somebody done turned off the light.
I pray
that the wait
be worth it.
No,
turn it back on.
I pray
that the wait
be worth it.
Double for your trouble.
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 And when you get it,
remember me.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
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 Love y'all.
Be blessed.
Be blessed.
Be blessed.
What's going on?
My people, my people.
How you doing?
You good?
All right.
Whoa.
How you doing, that man of God?
All right.
Look at them soldiers. Look at them soldiers.